Amen. Well, we're currently going through the book of Ecclesiastes, studying one chapter per week in this book. That it's just, if you go to Psalms in the middle of your Bible and go to the right past Proverbs, Ecclesiastes is the next book. And I'm really loving this book. It's written by Solomon, the wisest man, the Bible says, who ever lived. People have been uncomfortable with the book of Ecclesiastes because if you're expecting everything to be bubbly and sweet, it's not that. Solomon is a guy who is smart enough that he tells it like it is. He doesn't sugarcoat anything. He doesn't deny anything that's nagging away at us in the back of our minds. If you want reality, Ecclesiastes is a great way to find it. A brilliant presentation of the realities of life and the realities of eternity. Solomon had an opportunity to experience every kind of pleasure imaginable. And he didn't tell people pleasure is bad. Quite the contrary. He said it's great, but it's not enough. Because he wanted people to understand that in the end, you live and then you'll face an eternal God. And you need to make sure that before everything else, you respect and fear God, and you do the best you can to do what he tells you to do, and all of that lasts a lot longer than this life. It's kind of uncomfortable if you spend your life in denial. But if you're the type of person who's been scratching your head, wondering how people can be oblivious to reality, and you feel like, I feel like everyone around me is just faking it, then this is the book for you. And I love this book because of that. Now, as we've come to chapter 3, in the first chapter, he talked about wisdom, as great as it is. In the end, it really isn't everything. It won't satisfy you. In chapter 2, he talked about pleasure. It's great, but it will leave you empty at some point. Here in chapter 3, he begins with by far the most famous chapter in the book of Ecclesiastes, an incredible poem slash song that Solomon wrote, who wrote tons of proverbs, poems, and songs. And we're probably familiar with it if you're old enough. There was a song called Turn, Turn, Turn that originally Pete Seeger, the old folk singer, wrote it in the 50s. And he basically took all the words of these first eight verses from the King James Version and recorded them verbatim. And then he added six words at the end of it. After there's a time for peace, he says, I swear it's not too late. And he joked that he made hundreds of millions of dollars in royalties from a song that he wrote six words to it, plus the tune. But he wrote the song, the Limelighters, an old folk group, recorded it. Then Judy Collins recorded it in like 63. But in 1965, the Byrds, with Roger McGuinn and David Crosby and Gene Clark, those guys, made a huge hit of it. And that song continues to just be iconic. And really, it's the words of Solomon. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything, there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Time, over and over again, a time, a time, a time, a time. Time is our most precious asset. Time is what we have as a gift, that when it's gone, it's gone. And at the end of anyone's time, they would give everything else they've accumulated for a little bit more time. Time is precious because it's clearly limited. Time goes by. Time, the like sands through the hourglass. It's coming, it's going, it continues to move. And in our awareness and in our existence, it becomes something that it's like, wow, that's really precious. Everything that's listed here takes time. It takes time to be born and time to die. It takes time to plant and it takes time to harvest. And each of these things are things that become a part of life as we go through the times of all of these things. Each of these things also can be good or they can be bad depending on your perspective. You know, you may think that birth is amazing and beautiful. Well, not for the one being born, that's for sure. It's a time of misery for them. And with each of these, there's a time sometimes to kill, because sometimes if you don't stop something, it will kill you. But there's also a time to heal. It's nice to know you're healing, but healing hurts. And so you see in all of these things, wow, there's this balance between, yeah, there's good to it and there's bad to it. Each of these little couplets, he, you know, in each of them, he uses two kind of offsetting characteristics that take time up. And each of them is mutually inclusive. In other words, you can't really have one without the other. We sometimes look at the world and go, why is there hatred? Why can't everyone just love? But if you consider it philosophically, you understand that love would not even be love were it not possible to not love. We know everything that we know in contrast to what else we know. If life was just constant mourning, we wouldn't know what it would even be like to laugh. At the same time, a laugh wouldn't be refreshing if all you did was laugh. You've known people like that. They just laugh at everything. And at first you think, wow, they really like my sense of humor. And then you realize, no, they just cackle at everything. It's all a balance. You know, you have both of these, and each one needs the other. But whether good or bad, the biggest thing about all these things, and the point of there is a time to be born and a time to die, every one of these things ultimately passes away to make room for the other one. Our lives are not static. They don't just always stay on a certain plane. Now, when things are going well, it feels like life is great. When things are going painfully, it feels like that's endless. But the message of Solomon is, no, there's a time for all of these things. There's a certain rhythm to life in a way as well. They pass away. There's an old expression, this too will pass. President Lincoln quoted it in his inaugural address when the country was just on the verge of the worst disaster, really, that our country has ever endured, the Civil War. And he told the story, and it's probably a fable, but the story's been around for hundreds of years, that one time a Persian king came to Solomon, who wrote this, and said, I want to have a special ring made that when I look at the ring, it's going to give me a perspective on life. And that Solomon supposedly said to him, engrave on there, this too shall pass. Now, the irony of it was, the king thought of it as being, oh good, when I'm going through a hard time, this too will pass. That's really helpful, and that's usually the way we use it. But the brilliance of that statement, as of this chapter, is when you are having a good time, remember, this too shall pass. Everything is fleeting. The good times to be treasured, the bad times to be endured, because it's all basically temporary. So it can bring joy or sorrow, but his realistic perspective is everything that is right now, someday won't be. And that can either help you to really treasure the good times, or it can help you to endure the bad times as well. See, time is a zero-sum game. That means there isn't an unlimited supply of it. If I spend time doing one thing, it means during that time, I am not doing something else. And it's why life is such a privilege, because in so many ways, we are able to make choices. What am I going to do with this amount of time that I have? The bad things steal from the good that could be. The good things can turn into bad eventually, but bad things can turn into good things. But it's important for us to understand that we control, to a great extent, what we do with these 1,440 minutes we have every 24 hours. Those are treasures that we get to decide, what do I do with that time? And Solomon, you know, is very wisely calling our attention to that. Now, as we continue in the chapter, in verse 9 through 11, he says, "What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end." I love that in verse 11. He makes everything beautiful in its time. No matter how ugly something is, no matter how difficult, challenging, or painful life is, just give it time. It's like they say, you know, in Hawaii, if you don't like the weather, wait 10 minutes. It continues to revolve through. You rarely go to Hawaii without it raining, but you rarely go there when it rains the whole time you're there. That's kind of in microcosm the way life is. And so it's understanding, give it time, and the rainbow will come through the clouds. Give it time, and the sun will come out tomorrow, as Annie said. You know, beauty, there's beauty in time. It will happen. Look for it and expect it. But the fact that beauty will come in time means that beauty isn't there all the time, and we shouldn't expect that. But then he says, and he made eternity in their hearts. Everything else that we think of concerning life is generally about time. Time is a created substance. It's a realm in which it's our interface to life, basically, is the clock, is the passing time. And yet, there is something within us that allows us to consider ourselves independently of time. Because the truth is, you weren't created to be fully satisfied with anything that comes and goes, with anything that will be, you know, here today and gone tomorrow. There's something inside of you. And really, if you couldn't conceive of what time is, unless you were able to look at it objectively apart from it, the fact that we can imagine eternity lets us know that we are not only products of time, that actually there are things in us that make us prepared for and oriented toward eternity. You were created for another world. And if you don't understand that this world isn't your ultimate destiny, then life will ultimately frustrate you. You have eternity in your hearts. C.S. Lewis said it this way, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." There's something mysterious about who we are, that though we go through time, we are also connected to something outside of time. We were created for eternity, and Solomon wants us to understand that. Then he gets practical in verse 12, and he says, "I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift from God." So he says, there's a time for all of these things, and yet you got to understand how important it is to experience pleasure, how important it is to dwell on those things that give you joy, how important it is to, he said, you know, enjoy life because God has given you that. And he goes, I don't want to bum you out to where now I steal you of your joy. Man, life is a gift. And the best thing you can do is to enjoy it while you can, because you won't always be able to enjoy things that you might be able to enjoy now, because time passes on and things are constantly in a state of flux. And then beginning with verse 14, he kind of says, I want to acknowledge that there are a lot of things that don't seem right in this world, but God is the one to judge all of that. I know that whatever God does, verse 14, it shall be forever. God's eternal. We are in time. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him. That which is has already been, and that which is to be has already been, and God requires an account of what is past. I get all that. Moreover, I saw under the sun, in the place of judgment, wickedness was there, and in the place of righteousness, iniquity was there. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. Solomon's not pie in the sky. Solomon's not trying to just be positive, look on the brighter side. He's being real. And so he wants to acknowledge, although it's in God's realm, not ours, the truth is, man, I look at the job that God is doing of judging the world, and it doesn't feel like he's doing that great of a job. I understand that. But he says, but he's God, and I'm not. So I'm not going to sit in judgment on God. I'm not going to look at what he's doing and decide whether or not he's good. The fact is, if there isn't a just God, then there's no point to life anyway. So if I try to make the best of life, it works whether it ends up being that I was right about God making everything right. It doesn't look fair to me, and I'll acknowledge that. And God's not so sensitive that he'll get offended that I look at things and go, I wonder why God would do that. But Solomon says, you know, I get it. I understand that. But what I have to deal with is, so what can I do? I can't change the past. I can't change circumstances. And then he sets the stage for it, and beginning with verse 18, when he basically, through verse 21, he basically says, and the truth is, man, we're all going to die. We're going to die like animals. In verse 20, all go to one place. He's not talking about there's no heaven or no hell. He's just saying, we're all going to die physically. All are from the dust, and all return to dust. Who knows the spirit of the sons of men, which goes upward, and the spirit of the animal, which goes down to the earth. He goes, we all deteriorate. We all are ultimately materially dying. Now, that may seem like a really depressing thought to you, but it's kind of encouraging, too. At least, I don't know about women, but the spirits of the sons of men go up, so... And the animals, maybe it depends what kind of animal. But the idea is he's letting us know, look, this is the way it is. God is the only judge. We can't judge him. We try to do the best that we can. We're trying to find pleasure wherever we can. But at the same time, time is limited. Understand that what you do with your time has an expiration date. There's a limited amount of time that you have, and wants us to think about what will you do with the time that you have. And then in verse 22, he closes it off with kind of an interesting way to tie this discussion up. He says, so I perceived that nothing is better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his heritage, for who can bring him to see what will happen after him? He says, look, what it comes down to is just find joy wherever you can. Do what it is that is your job to do. Live life the best that you can, making sure that you create room for work, making sure that you create room for pleasure, living with a balance as much as is possible. But in a sense, he's saying, but stay in your lane. You worry about you. Sometimes it's so stressful when you take responsibility for trying to get other people to think like you. Like, oh, I really care about this, so I want to make sure everyone else cares in the way that I do. No, it doesn't work that way. And it's not even healthy to spend your life trying to control other people when you really can't do it effectively. And even when you're successful, they resent you. And so Solomon's going, look, you need to find pleasure. It's a good thing. It comes and goes, by the way. You're going to hurt sometimes plenty, but other times you're going to be doing well. Savor that. Do the best that you can. Find what it is that you were placed on this earth to do. Make the most of it. Understand that. That's your job. Figure out what you're going to do. Stay in your lane. Get your nose out of other people's business. And don't waste potential pleasure by moaning about the pain that's going on somewhere else or with, you know, what's going to happen to you or whatever. Part of your life just stinks. Part of it's great. You continue to focus on the part of it that stinks and you miss out on the part of it that's great. He's like, no. See, the thing is, you know, and Solomon always says this, pleasure is something that you can accept or reject. But lean into that because the pain you can't always do something about. The pleasure, if you miss that, if you skip the times that are most important to you, you're robbing yourself. You know, Hans Christian Andersen said, enjoy life. There'll be plenty of time later to be dead. That's something that Solomon might have said. This life is a gift. Enjoy it while you can. Don't ruin the time that you have by analyzing those times when it's not as good as it is now, or by feeling completely defeated by, you know, people who are, you know, going through a tough time. Your life is short, and you need to understand there's a rhythm to it. You need to make sure that you savor those pleasant times so that you'll have strength in order to make it through those difficult times. The time continues to pass. We're all getting older. Unless the Lord comes back first, we're all going to die. And then you will look back at how much time did I have and what did I do with it? Ultimately, Solomon is here in this chapter just appealing to people to treasure time. You can't control it, time. You can invest it, but you can't control it because it keeps going past. Every one of us, this last week, what we did is what we did with that time, and we will never have that time back. And that's true every second. Bruce Lee said, if you love life, don't waste time. Time is what life is made of. Time is what life is made of. What you decide to do with the hours that you have today, that is your life. What you do is your life. If you care about life, you'll understand what a gift time is and how important it is to try to do the best that you can with the time that God gives you. But we also need to understand that time always brings variety. It means there are going to be good things that happen and bad things that happen. Don't expect it to always be good. And don't feel like it's always going to be bad. There's a certain rhythm to it. There's a time for this, and there's a time of this, as he says in the first 8 verses. Understand that, but understand, don't get locked into one mentality, because if you're just so consumed with what you don't have, you're so consumed that, oh, I want to be happily married, and I'm not, then you'll steal a whole lot of other pleasure that you can have when you're not happily married, because there are other opportunities that God gives you. Maybe you have more time on your hands, or maybe you have opportunities to consider, what kind of people do I really like to spend time with, or who are my friends that if I was locked into a great relationship, I couldn't just go out without, you know, and appreciate being with people. Understand, there's a variety there. It's good and bad. Accept the good, accept the bad, but find the rhythm where the best you can do with your life is when you look at it and go, there's a balance to it. It's why we call my radio program The Balanced Word, Because I believe when you study the Bible, it will make you normal. It will allow your life not to be crazy and extreme, but it will allow your life to accept whatever comes as being from the hand of God, as being a part of what your life is. Jesus was that way. He came and lived a perfectly balanced life. There were extremists on both sides that were critical of him, and there he was, just being normal. Sometimes it drives people crazy when you're not as extreme as they are, but it's your life. You're the one that chooses what to do with it. There's nothing down here that lasts forever. As a result, savor the good. You know, as Solomon lets us know, lean into pleasure. You can't control some of the painful things. Some of them you can, most of them you can't. But you can control whether you take advantage of an opportunity for pleasure. And so lean into that because that's within your control. You can decide. Either I'm just going to sit here and veg, or I'm going to call a couple of friends and we're going to go out and have dinner. Or I can, you know, like next Sunday we're having an outreach to a homeless shelter. And you can decide to do that in an afternoon, or you can decide to, I don't know, it's a week before Super Bowl Sunday, so I guess just sit there on Sunday afternoon and watch all the shows talking about what's going to happen in the Super Bowl, or think maybe LeBron will be back, or you can take some time and really enjoy just serving some other people. But those are the kinds of choices that we make every day. Sometimes your choice for pleasure might just be, it would feel really good to sit here and veg. I'm overdue to lie beside the still waters that the psalmist says our Father gives us, our good shepherd gives us. But you decide that, but you make sure that you understand you have an opportunity to decide to play with kids or play video games by yourself. Maybe you find that pleasurable. Maybe you find watching TV endlessly pleasurable. One thing with having all the TV shows and on like Netflix and Hulu and everything, it's amazing. I can watch a show and I can be really enjoying it. About halfway through, I realize I've seen this before. I still watch it because I don't know how it ends. I don't remember, but I'm having this deja vu moment. Is that the way you want to live your life? Solomon would go, no, nothing down here lasts forever. So enjoy the good. When it comes to the bad, suck it up. Swallow it. Realize that's a part of life too. Don't go whining about, oh, I'm so lonely, I'm in so much pain, nobody loves me. Tough. That's life sometimes. There's usually a reason why you feel that way. And if you realize the good opportunities that are around you, maybe that could change. Or maybe this is just your time to be miserable. So deal with it. Don't make other people miserable just because you're miserable. Don't resent other people because right now is their time to rejoice and it's your time to mourn. You just got to deal with it. Solomon would, with tough love, just tell us, look, do all that you can to have pleasure. That's what God wants you to do. But at the same time, you just got to deal with the pain too. That's the cycle of life, ultimately. By the way, being in denial, not wanting to consider the negativity as being a potential part of what life is constructed of, only leads ultimately to extended misery. We all know people, I think, who live their lives in a fantasy, that they just God talk everything. Hey, Jesus is great, and really praise the Lord, and all. And that's like all they do. In my experience, some of the people who are the most unrealistically optimistic are people who someday that denial catches up to them, and it usually slams them in the face, where it's like, I have been pretending for so long, and all of a sudden, I just hit a wall. Sometimes, not every time, but sometimes people who become swallowed up in depression are people who have overdosed on denial so much that now when the reality hits, they don't know how to deal with it because they felt like they were on this great spiritual high. I'm better than everyone else. I'm just enjoying heaven while I'm here. And rather than being, and those kind of people don't read Ecclesiastes either. And they probably don't go to church here because if you just want somebody to If you want somebody to just tell you the same happy message every week, you can go to the big box churches, and they do that just fine. My job is to make you a little uncomfortable, but for you to feel like down beneath it, it's like, man, maybe he's got a point. I just want to warn you that if you deny the bad, if you pretend like it doesn't exist, it doesn't go away. It tends to pile up. It tends to become worse. And someday the bad will overwhelm you if you don't let life have the rhythms that it has. That sometimes you just go, life stings, but other times you go, life is awesome. The reason it's awesome is because it isn't always awesome. The reason it stinks is because it's life. That's the way it is. But remember this, we were designed for another world outside the time-space continuum. We have eternity in our hearts. And it would be really healthy for you to accept life, the good and the bad, and learn to flow with it, enjoy the good in every way that you can, suck it up for the bad, and make it through and know that it's going to pass. That's just healthy living, period. But ultimately, there's something more. Because according to the Bible, and according to the wisest man who ever lived, Solomon, who, if you're resonating with what he's saying, you have to remind yourself that what he said at the end of this book, as we looked at it the last couple weeks, he goes, look, in the end, you need to fear God. You need to understand God is God. You don't stand in judgment on what he does. You're afraid to decide that you know better than God. You're not going to get mad at God because he's not doing things your way. You're not God. He is. Deal with it. Accept it. And then keep his commandments. Do life the way he tells you to do it. In the end, that's what's going to be the best. Because as you do that, you will find he actually wants you to experience some great times. But he also has a reason that we don't always understand why, as the time ticks on, sometimes there's pain, sometimes there's misery, but you are designed for eternity, not for time, and you should never expect this world to become everything that you were designed to experience. This world is always just a shadow of the eternity that's in your heart. And if you're not in a relationship with God, you'll never be able to look at life in a way that says, I can tie this up in a neat little bow. I can be thankful for all the good. I can accept all of the bad. Why? Because I really do believe there is a God who judges. I really do believe there is a God who provides an opportunity for us to live outside of time and space. The fact that I can even imagine that seems to prove that that's a part of reality, but it's a choice that you have to make. The eternal God loves you so much that he sent his son, Jesus, into time and space in order to contact us in a way that we could understand. And he wants to be connected to you. The only way that you can really enjoy the good and the only way that you can really endure the bad is to know that you've been forgiven. To know that God is causing everything to work together for good, that in the end you'll look back and go, it was all good. Because that's the kind of God we serve. That's why Jesus came, to make it possible for us to experience God's grace and his forgiveness. And if you've never experienced that, if you've never received him, today would be a really good time to start fresh by connecting with the eternal God who it's always been in your heart. You've always had a thirst for eternity in a way that you tried to fill it with other stuff, and it just wasn't enough. I pray that if you've never experienced being forgiven, that you would come to him today, and in just a moment after the service, there'll be people down here who would love to pray with you. Life can start over today. Time can meet eternity, and it will change everything about life. But remember this, time is precious. How will you invest yours? Everybody has the same amount of time in a day. 1,440 minutes a day are yours and are mine. Except, I don't know if I'm going to make it through today, so maybe I have 720. Makes it even more important for me to think about and consider, what am I going to do with this gift of time? And some of it might mean licking my wounds. Some of it may be celebrating and enjoying. And we'll see whether it's celebration or not based on how the Rams do against the Saints. But, but each of us has this gift of time. But we get to decide, what are we going to do with it? The same amount every day. Will we say, there's an opportunity for me to have some pleasure today? Or will we say, there are some things that are just hurting today, and I just need to lick my wounds? It's okay either way, but there's a rhythm and it's going to happen. Do you adjust to the rhythm or do you fight it? Fighting it is the most unhealthy thing you can do. Receiving His grace and forgiveness, starting every day fresh, best thing you can do. Have a reverence for God. Fear Him. If you're living not thinking about God, or if you're like, yeah, I know I'm not doing what God wants me to do, but, you know, I just want to do what I want to do. Are you crazy? What kind of a, you know, that's not courageous. That's stupidity. You aren't afraid to go against what the God who made you said is the best way to do life. You don't think you need to do what He says because, well, I don't feel like it. You're an idiot. Put Him first, and you're going to find out that you will have the best pleasure that you could possibly have following Him. You will find out that there's a freedom to being forgiven that can't compare to anything that denial will give you. And the truth is, even when it hurts, you'll get through it. You'll accept it, be honest about it, you'll keep moving because you know this too will pass, that there's going to be a time that's different than this time. You should do that, whether this time is really good or whether this time is really bad. Treasure where you are because you don't know where you're going to be. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for giving us the wisdom of Solomon to help us to think about something we rarely think about, but something we stress over all the time, and that is time. Through His wisdom, teach us by Your Spirit to treasure every second of time and to be devoted to accepting reality the way that it is, to enjoying and not missing opportunities for pleasure and fun and humor and all of those blessings that we have as gifts from You. And at the same time, to receive the ache that's underneath the surface of our lives so often, recognizing that this too is from Your hand, that You are using that, woven the good things and the bad things together. You're weaving it all together for our good. Help us to be delivered from our denial. Help us to accept life 1 minute at a time as being a gift from You. Lead and guide us as we decide how to invest our time. Lord, for people who have never really come to know what it feels like to be relieved of their sin, to be in touch with that eternity that has been placed in their hearts and nothing that they ever do can satisfy it, help them to understand this is the missing piece. And now, in time, they can take a few minutes after the service to get right with You and to have their time change drastically and their eternity just explode on them. So I thank You for Your grace, sending Your Son Jesus so that we would have the fulfillment of the eternity that's built into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.